going to eat?
Shh. Gideon must give the blessing first.
Why is he so worried, glancing toward the door?
Don't worry about it. Shh. Gideon's ready.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, the table we're sitting at is more than a table. It is an altar to our Lord Jesus.
Praise his name.
Hallelujah.
On the same night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me."
What's that noise, Mother?
Don't be afraid, dear. The Lord is with us.
Open up! Open up in the name of the council.
Beloved, remember the words of our Lord. Happy are those who are persecuted because of me, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Ahaz, please open the door.
Mother, it's the guards.
It's all of Tosh. It's no use running.
The Lord is with us.
Guards, arrest them all.
Even the women and the children?
All of them. Can't you see they were worshiping the false Messiah? They were meeting in secret, contrary to the laws of the council. Arrest them. Spare no one.
Captured at Damascus.
Holy Scripture says, Saul laid waste the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison.
Well, what's the story about these prisoners, Saul?
These people are guilty of blasphemy against our holy religion. They speak of the false Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, there is no end of them.
Ah, their number's grown to 5,000. Even some of the priests of the temple are among them.
Yes, I know. Nicodemus, yes. Joseph of Arimathea. Ah. They too have been deceived. It's hard to believe.
It is a leprosy that must be stopped.
Leprosy, yes, yes, good word for it. Well, I guess I must question them, even though I know what they will say. Guards, bring the prisoners before me and the council.
Move it.
Stand before the council.
In case you've forgotten, brothers, I am the high priest, and these rabbis who know the law of Moses well are your spiritual masters. You'd better think about that.
We speak against no one. We are Jews as you are. We believe the prophecies, and to the best of our strength, keep the law of Moses.
How can you if you believe in a dead Messiah?
Blasphemy.
They have no right to call themselves Jews.
No, quiet, brothers. We must conduct this trial justly.
Your Honor, we caught these people right in the act of their blasphemous worship of this false Messiah.
You have blasphemed our holy religion, even our temple, by calling this man who was crucified the Messiah. But we are merciful. If you will state that you no longer believe that this Jesus is the Messiah, then no harm will come to you. If you don't deny it, then we must fulfill the law. You will be lashed 39 times, or until you cry out that you were wrong.
How can we deny Israel's Messiah?
He is our hope.
We keep trying to make you see reason and to save your souls, but always it is hopeless. Well, Saul, take them out and have the guards administer the punishment according to the law. 39 lashes.
Paul was like a whirlwind, devastating the believers he captured. At his hands, many were scarred for life. Some died from the cruel whipping. Yet, Paul found little peace in what he was doing. His mind gave him no rest. The faces of the persecuted believers came before him. Their kind words of forgiveness echoed in his mind. To try to blot out the painful memories, he drove himself even harder to stamp out the followers of Jesus. Holy Scripture says he was breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was so merciless that hundreds of believers left Jerusalem and fled to Samaria, Judea, Galilee, and many other places. One day, Paul appeared before the Jewish council and Annas the high priest to make a special request.
Your Highness.
Yes, Saul?
Our prisons are full of the followers of this false Messiah.
Oh, you've done a good job, Saul.
Yes.
You've served God well.
Yes, yes, but many others have fled our grasp. I hear they are now preaching in Samaria, Judea, even Damascus.
Damascus, yes. Friends in that city have given us the disturbing news. The synagogue there has been weakened by this heresy.
God has given us the law of Moses. At all costs, we must see that it is obeyed by Jews everywhere. And the law says that a man who is guilty of blasphemy ought to be punished.
Well, what do you propose, Brother Saul?
That you send me to Damascus to round up all the heretics who follow this impostor and bring them back here for trial. We must set an example that none can escape the arm of the council.
Yes, yes. The word of our council must be obeyed everywhere by our brother Jews.
I will follow the blasphemers to the end of the earth if necessary.
Before this is finished, you may have to. All right, Brother Saul, go to Damascus.
Give me an official letter to the synagogue there to help me arrest every Jew who even utters the name of the false Messiah.
Yes, yes, the plan might work. I'll have the letter prepared immediately.
And of course, I'll need horses and guards and supplies.
Take what you need. Everything is at your disposal. Ah. The sooner we can stop these lies, the better.
Yes.
Very early one morning, a small group of men trotted past the place of stoning where Stephen had died. Saul was with them. The 100 or so miles to Damascus would take most of a week as the road wound through stony mountains and hot desert. During that time, Saul had much time to think and remember the faces of the people he had arrested and brought before the council. Saul and his companions slowly made their way across the hot plains. For a while, they had relief as they passed the Sea of Galilee.
Look, there's Galilee, where the impostor gathered his disciples. Just fishermen and farmers and tax collectors. Can you imagine?
But they've turned out to be powerful preachers.
Oh, yes. Yes, they have. That's something I can't understand.
We should stop at Capernaum for a day or two. Rest up before crossing the desert to Damascus.
No, we don't need the rest. The quicker we get to Damascus, the better.
Soon the caravan plodded into the desert. The hot, dry east wind parched throats and filled mouths with sand. The journey was hard. Slowly, the last day of the journey arrived.
Saul, by this evening we can bathe in cool water, drink cold wine, and eat fresh fruit.
Yes, it'll be good to eat fresh bread, too.
This afternoon we'll be in Damascus. Then, after a day or two rest...
Now, we meet with the synagogue leaders tonight and start our work tomorrow.
Yes, yes, of course. Our holy task must not wait. There it is in the distance, Saul.
Huh?
Damascus. An oasis in the furnace. Such an old city, but so full of life. Trees, vineyards, date trees, pomegranates. Look at that beautiful river Abana flowing through the desert like a blue ribbon.
It is beautiful, Simeon. But it's a heathen city. And we don't want to stay any longer than we have to. And that's... What? Oh.
The light! The light! It's... brighter than the sun.
Saul's holding off his horse. Grab it.
Too late. Keep away from that fire.
What's happening, Saul?
We'll all be killed.
Saul is a dead man.
Don't get in the light. You'll die.
Saul. What's wrong? Are you all right?
I can't move. And that light, it's brighter than the sun.
The men with Paul heard a voice from out of the light, but did not see what Paul saw. They stood nearby, speechless and frightened. In the midst of the light, Paul saw the Lord Jesus, who spoke to him in the Hebrew language.
Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It hurts to kick against the goads.
Who are you, sir?
I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting.
Jesus, the one you... Oh, yes.
Get up and go into the city. I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world about this experience with me and about what I will show you in the future.
Yes, Lord, I will.
I will protect you from both your own people and the Gentiles.
The Gentiles?
Yes, I am going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes to their true condition, so that they may repent and live in the light of God instead of Satan's darkness, so that they may receive forgiveness for their sins and receive God's inheritance along with all people everywhere whose sins are cleansed away, who are set free from sin by faith in me.
Yes, Lord.
The light's gone. Saul! Saul! Are you all right?
I saw him. I saw the Lord.
The Lord?
Jesus of Nazareth.
Sir, it must have been the journey in the great heat. Here, have a drink. You've lost your strength.
Oh, I'm the chief of sinners, for I persecuted the Lord.
Can you get up?
I can't see a thing. Everything's so dark.
He was blinded by that light.
Here, Saul. Take my hand. Uh-huh. When you regain your strength, your sight will come back.
Thank you. Lead me to the city.
Of course. Judas of Damascus is a place waiting for you. He lives on the street that runs straight through the city. It'll be easy to find.
Paul had expected to enter Damascus as a powerful representative of the Jewish council. But instead, he was blind and had to be led into the city. His pride, anger, and hate were gone.
I'm coming. Yes, what is it?
Judas.
Yes.
This is Saul of Tarsus. I understand he is to stay with you.
Saul of Tarsus? Him? But what's wrong with him?
He is blind.
Blind?
He had a vision in the desert. But with a little rest, perhaps he'll regain his sight.
How can he arrest all those heretics if he's blind? Well, bring him this way. I have a room ready for him.
Paul stayed in the room for 3 days and nights, neither eating or drinking, for he had much to think about.
I saw Jesus glorified, Lord of lords, King of kings. Now I see it. I was so blind. Jesus did fulfill the prophecies. He rose from the dead. He's at the Father's right hand as our Lord and Savior. Oh, praise his name.
Paul's heart was filled with pain when he thought of how he had whipped and tortured the followers of Jesus.
I am the chief of sinners, for I fought against his church. But he did not kill me. He must have something planned for me. Whatever it is, I will obey Jesus to the death. He is my master and Lord. He is the promised one, the Messiah.
Then Paul received another vision of a man named Ananias coming to him, laying his hands on him and restoring his sight. And in the night, in another part of town, Ananias also had a vision. The Lord told him to go visit Paul at the house of Judas. Several hours later, Ananias was knocking on Judas' door.
Yes?
I am Ananias. Is there a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus staying with you?
Yes.
I have been told to come see him.
Right this way. He's a very strange man. You know he was sent here by the Jewish council to arrest the followers of the way.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
But he came here blind. Something about a vision, a light in the desert. I don't know if he'll speak to you. He's been like a dead man, not eating or drinking. I don't understand any of it. But here's his room. Saul, you have a visitor. Ananias of Damascus.
Yes, please, send him in.
Well, that's a surprise.
Ah, I've been expecting you, Ananias. Here, come in.
Thank you. Judas, I thank you, too. You may leave now.
Leave? Yes. Yes, of course.
Brother Saul.
You call me brother? You know I came to Damascus to arrest you and the other followers of Jesus.
Yes, I know. But the Lord appeared to me in a vision and called my name. Then he said, go over to Straight Street and find the house of a man named Judas and ask for Saul of Tarsus. He is praying to me right now, for I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again.
So I can see again? Oh, praise the Lord! He gave me a vision, too, of your coming.
How wonderfully he works.
Yes.
You know, I was reluctant to come at first.
Oh?
I said, but Lord, I have heard about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem.
Yes, they were terrible.
I said, Lord, we hear that he has arrest warrants with him from the chief priests, authorizing him to arrest every believer in Damascus.
That's right, I had.
But the Lord said, go and do what I say. For Paul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the nations and before kings,
what?
As well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me.
Before kings? To the nations? To Israel? Oh, thank you, Lord. You have my life.
Brother Saul, I now lay my hands on you. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road here, has sent me so that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit and have your sight restored.
Yes, I see again. It's as though scales fell from my eyes. Oh, Ananias, take me to be baptized in the name of the Lord, now.
Gladly, Brother Saul. And then we will eat and visit the other believers in Damascus.
But won't they be afraid of me?
Our Lord is a Lord of miracles. They will be filled with joy when they hear your story. Their fears will quickly disappear.
The fears of the believers did disappear, but the hatred of the Jewish leaders in the Damascus synagogue increased. As Paul tried to preach there and tell them about his experience with Jesus, they drove him out. Paul then went into the desert of Arabia to spend some months in meditation, study, and prayer. Soon he returned to Damascus and once more tried to appeal to the hearts of the Jews in the synagogue. Again, he met with strong opposition.
He is a traitor. This man is a traitor.
Away with him. Silence.
What strange things does this rabbi preach?
To crucify Jesus is our Messiah.
What? Blasphemy.
He too must be deceived.
Yes.
He speaks with great power.
He must be destroyed.
Away with the traitor, Saul. Away with him.
Saul is leaving now. It's too late. But tomorrow, brothers, this is what we must do. When he speaks again, we will rush him and kill him before anyone can stop us.
Yes.
We'll have stones ready.
But what if he escapes the city before then?
We have friends in the government. We'll get them to post guards at the gate all day and all night. This renegade must not be allowed to escape. He must die, like any blasphemer.
The word of the plan to kill Paul reached the believers.
Saul, you must escape Damascus immediately.
What?
The rulers of the city intend to arrest you, and the Jews of the synagogue are ready to stone you.
Oh, I must run like a rabbit, huh?
If only it was that easy. Guards have been placed at the gates. They patrol the walls and examine everyone going out.
But you must escape. Remember what you were told by the Lord?
Yes, I am to go to the nations to tell of him.
We have a plan.
What?
There is a fellow believer whose house overlooks the wall. You can escape from there when night comes.
Yes, but it is risky. But if you stay here much longer, they'll find you.
The Lord will protect me. He said so. I'm not afraid.
Then we'll get things ready.
That night, Paul was taken from his hiding place to the house by the wall.
We must be very quiet. The guards are everywhere. This way, Saul.
What?
All right. This is the door. Follow me.
Now watch the steps, Saul. Uh-huh. The stones are rough.
I'm fine.
Here we are. Let me peek over the wall. It looks clear. All right. Here's the basket.
Uh-huh.
Saul, you get in.
Yes.
And we'll lower you through this hole in the wall.
Yes. I hope that rope is strong enough.
Oh, it is. We tested it.
Wait. Shh. A guard's coming. Duck. All right, it's clear. In you go. Here's a gourd of water, some bread, olives, and dates to take with you.
Thank you. All right. I'm ready. Oh, steady. Let it down easy.
Shh. Right.
Through the night, Paul made his escape, the hunted man. He crossed the desert and plains toward Jerusalem. He knew he would face much disbelief and persecution, but his heart was filled with new hope and peace. He knew he had a great mission before him, to let the world know that the Messiah had come and that everyone who believes in him could have a new and everlasting life.